Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now, good news. In August of last year, our friend and colleague and 2FM presenter Louise McSherry came on this very show to talk about the fact that she had recently been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she was scared, of course, but also hopeful and ready for the fight as she faced into 6 months of chemotherapy. And last week, on Daffodil Day of all days, she took the opportunity to let people know through her Twitter account that she has some rather good news, and she's here today to share it with us again. Louise, welcome.
Thank you.
You are, let's get down to this in the sense that when we were just talking the last couple of minutes outside, you are... I couldn't be more different in appearance and mood to the woman I interviewed here and on the Late Late Show 6 months plus ago. Everything has changed utterly.
Yeah, it's funny, and it's actually quite nice to hear you say that because I am a woman and I am mental, although there are some women who don't have this kind of crazy stuff. I was thinking this morning, God, I've gained so much weight since the last time I was in work, and I was getting stressed about that, which when you say that to me, I'm like, that's completely insane. Why am I even thinking like that? Obviously, yeah. I've gained weight. I'm much healthier than I was. Yeah. And, you know, at the time, I wasn't eating. You know, I was really barely eating anything because I had no appetite. I had no interest in food for the first time in my life. So, the weight had fallen off me.
Yeah.
And it's funny that we put ourselves under so much pressure about our physical appearance that's what I was thinking this morning. So it's nice to hear you say that.
Yeah, well, I'm only telling you the truth. And it's superficial in some way, but it's not that superficial in the sense that when I last saw you, you were grey and a little bit green. Yeah. And I can say this now because you're neither grey nor green.
Yeah.
And also, your demeanour was like a playing the record on the wrong speed.
Yeah.
And meeting you today... The needle is spinning nicely on the vinyl.
Yeah, well, thank you.
And it's great to see that.
Yeah, I feel so much better. I really do. And it's amazing because I was sick for so long without realizing that I was sick. I knew that there was something wrong, but I didn't think it was anything serious. That now to feel better, it's like, oh yeah, this is what I'm supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
This is what it feels like to not be having cancer, I suppose. Yeah.
Let's do a kind of an Ebenezer Scrooge moment where we go to the ghost of the Christmas past to 6 months ago when you heard the news. Yourself in hearing the news, you told it so well yourself and Gordon hearing it and trying to percolate it. Now that you're well, let's go back into that room and into the studio here and you were kind of in that awful anti-buzz of cancer. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, those first days are just so terrifying, and it's like you're in a snow globe and someone has picked it up and just given it a good shake, and everything that you thought you knew, you don't know anymore. You know, you think you know where your life is going and suddenly you don't. And it's just like you're confronted with all these question marks because you just can't imagine how things are going to be. So it's just so scary. And one thing that I've said to a couple of my friends who've been diagnosed with cancer since I was, which is kind of has been incredible for us. You know, we've had so many conversations going, how are we even having this conversation? That we both have cancer. But anyway, one thing that I've said to them is that it very quickly things normalize. And once you get into your treatment, if you're as lucky as I was in that my treatment was relatively straightforward, you get into a rhythm of it. And, you know, you just go in, you get to know the nurses, you get to know the people who are there having chemo with you as well.
Yeah.
And you get into a rhythm and you know that, okay, well, I can't go out on this Friday because I'll be probably not very well. But the following Friday, I might be able to go out for a few hours. So you kind of plan around your treatment.
So you enter, and it's glib, but I'll say it, you enter cancer world.
Yeah.
And you become a citizen of this
completely
place.
Completely. And the thing about that is that you get so kind of, you know, that becomes your life. And for me, it was 6 months. For some people, it's a lot longer. And then when it ends, like when I had my last chemotherapy treatment, I didn't feel any of the feelings that I thought I would feel. I actually felt really sad.
Not euphoric.
No, not at all. I was dreading it. I was really dreading it. And I thought...
Why? Why is that, I wonder?
Well, first of all, and I'm really glad that I'm getting the chance to say this publicly, the staff of St. Vincent's Ward in the matter where I was treated are incredible. Great. And it's actually going to be hard for me to not get emotional about it because they were so kind to me from day one. They made me feel so welcome. I have tears in my
eyes.
That's
okay. If you're only being human.
And I was genuinely really sad to say goodbye to them.
What did they do to make it easier, to make such a hard thing easier for you?
Do you know what? They're just... they are fun, and they are, you know, there's no BS. They speak to you in a very direct way, but in a very kind way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they don't make you feel like you're going in for this, you know, massive thing.
Yeah.
And
they normalize the abnormal.
Yeah, yeah, they really do. And I found that on December, I had chemo on December 23rd, and it was a bad day. My veins wouldn't cooperate, which is something, if you've ever had intravenous treatment, you'll know is tough.
Yeah.
Basically, the way the and a lot of people don't know this, actually, I found the way that most people receive chemotherapy is through a drip. So you have a catheter put into your arm, a cannula put into your arm, which is through which the medicine goes.
Sure.
If your veins don't cooperate and they can't get that line in, it can be really painful and really difficult. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would have a port or a PICC line, which is something kind of a semi-permanent thing, which means that they don't have to find a vein every time. But for me, I didn't have those things. And on that day, they couldn't find a vein. And it gets harder as you go along because the chemo is deteriorating, you know, your body in general, but your veins in particular, because that's where it's going, obviously. On that day, they couldn't get a vein. It took a really long time. It was painful. It was frustrating. And the emotion of, I suppose, having cancer, it being Christmas time, feeling like this is not where I'm meant to be, just really got to me. And I the whole day was on the verge of tears. Mm. And at one point, I just said it to Nolene, who was one of the nurses who treated me the most and who I just will always have a place in my heart because she was so kind to me. And she just said, you know, that's totally normal. Mm. That's totally normal what you're feeling.
That's what you wanted to hear.
Yeah. And every time that I felt like I was feeling something crazy, like feeling like I didn't necessarily want my treatment to end, she would say, that's normal. Yeah. You know, you'd be surprised how many people we have who feel that way. And it's okay. It's okay to feel that
way.
Is
it because you got into a routine or that you made friends? I don't know. Is it something as simple as that you had this sort of place to go in the middle of all the darkness or sadness?
Yeah, I think it's a lot. I think it's a lot of things. I think one of the things is that you feel normal when you're in there.
Okay.
Everybody else has cancer, and the nurses are not impressed by you because you have cancer, because they see people who have cancer every day, and this is just normal life.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an escape from feeling like you're the kind of the girl with cancer, or you know, you can almost forget you have cancer when you're in there, which I know makes no sense, but like you're not different to anyone else. So that's one thing. Secondly, I think that there's certainly a safety in being in treatment. You're being checked all the time. You know, you have your blood tested every 2 weeks. You know that nothing's gonna, you know, suddenly sneak up on you because it can't. Yes, exactly. And something is being done all the time. Mm. And also, you know, the people, I really, really liked the people. That was just my experience. And I was sad to see them go. And I said to Jane, another one of the nurses, before I left, you know, I said, you must find it really hard to say goodbye to people all the time when they finish their treatment.
Yes,
and she said, yeah, but at the same time, that's what we're here for. Like, we're here to try and make you better so that you can go off and live your life anymore, so that you don't have to come in here. She said, so we're happy to see you go as well. So part of me feels like, Louise, you absolute sap, like get over it. You know what I mean? These people are not thinking about you, although I'm sure they're all absolutely obsessing over me.
No doubt about it. Well, how could they forget you? That's for sure. I mean, they obviously feel that when you walk out the door for the last time, they go, tick, success.
Yeah, exactly.
Another life won and succeeded. And particularly if you sound so warm in your tribute to these people who probably don't get the praise they deserve.
No, I don't think they do. And you know, obviously the HSE gets a lot of bad press, and I can't speak for anything other than my experience.
Yeah.
But I have to say that my experience of having cancer in Ireland was exceptionally good. And I was on the public system, by the way. I wasn't private.
What did you miss when you were sick? What did you find hard to do without?
I missed work. I definitely missed work a lot. But I also just missed being able to kind of make plans and know that you were going to be able to do it, you know? Because if there was a big party or a big night out or a gig or something that I really wanted to go to, if it fell in the right place in my cycle, I could kind of go, okay, I'll probably be able to do that, because I had chemo every 2 weeks. So at the end of the 2 weeks, I was feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be like, okay, I can probably do that. But then you never know until the day how you're actually going to feel. Energy, you know, at the start I still had what I thought was a lot of energy, but as you go through chemo, it accumulates in you and your tiredness builds. So, you know, what I thought I was able to do even in January was very different to what I felt I was able to do at the end of February, because by the time I was finished my treatment, I was wrecked. And my energy levels are still not where they were.
Yeah.
like ages ago, but
you're fighting.
But they're coming back. Yeah. Yeah.
What about the ring on your finger is not getting any less sparkly? So obviously plans are as you promised they would be.
Yeah, all the wedding plans are going ahead. We're getting married in August. We actually visited our venue over the weekend with Gordon's parents, which was really nice. It's nice to have them there and kind of to show it to someone else. Yeah. And we're so excited.
That's
so soon now
when you think about it. I mean, August is only around the corner, really.
It's going to fly. Wow. It's really going to fly.
How do you feel about that coming down the tracks?
I just feel really excited. I feel like I can pretty much bank on being well in August and being able to enjoy it properly. But also for me, it's going to be a nice way to kind of, I suppose, thank, because we're planning to show people a really good time. Hopefully it'll all work out. So it'll be a nice way for me to thank all of the people who have been in, you know, physically in my life, who have been so kind to me and so supportive over the last 6 months and longer. But also, you know, unfortunately I can't have everyone at my wedding, but I would like to also say thank you to everyone online and people who have sent me post and people who have made the effort to get in contact with me. There are so many of them in Ireland and abroad who made the experience just so much easier than it might have been.
Did you, because your wedding sounds like it's going to be almost souped up in emotion because of the nature of the last year.
I think so.
You know what I mean? It's going to be heightened, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Compared to the average wedding. So has it heightened your relationship with family and even Gordon, your fiancé? Has it changed things? Have you had a different set of eyes on these things?
Well, with Gordon, I feel like I don't have a very good perspective on it, because in my eyes, we were just always brilliant and we still are. So, but then I don't know if I can trust myself on these things, because Gordon and I made an agreement early on, the day after I was diagnosed, that if one of us was upset about it or was feeling, you know, in any way emotional about it, we would be honest with each other about it. So that way we wouldn't have to worry that the other person was kind of hiding upset or whatever. So this came up again recently. We were talking to a friend and I said, you know, we made this agreement. And then I said, and I'm pretty sure, you know, we kept to that, didn't we, Gordon? And Gordon said, no. Yeah. And I said, what? And he said, no, there were a good few days where I, you know, I felt really down and I didn't talk to you about it. And I was kind of annoyed, but at the same time, you know, he obviously felt he was doing what was best for me. But so, you know, he might feel that our relationship has changed in a big way. For me, I just feel like we're just as good as we ever were. I feel very lucky in that respect. With my family, it was quite funny, because I had to ask my mom to stop saying I love you at the end of text messages towards the beginning, because we had never done that. And every time she did it, I felt like, okay, listen, this is like, I'm not dying here. I don't this is bizarre. You're making me feel really weird. So stop doing that, please.
Because just to remind you had a complicated relationship with your mom. Isn't that right?
Oh, well, this is my
your mom.
Yeah.
I thought
I have a biological mom, and then
it's
okay. It is complicated.
Yeah, yeah. But your mom, as you know her, sorry.
I ever say my mom, I'm talking about Jer, who brought me up, who I've lived with since I was 7.
And she keeps saying, I love you, and you're saying, stop already, because I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's making me feel really weird.
Yeah. Okay.
No. Yeah, I was like, you're going to have to stop this. And then my dad was certainly hugged me a lot more for a lot longer than he ever had previously. I think it's probably ramped up my relationship with my dad a little bit, but our relationship has always been quite good. So my sister Una just keeps telling me that I used the cancer excuse far too many times. And
I can't
pull the cancer card anymore. So no, we're all good.
That's so nice. You tweeted when you revealed that you got the all clear, you said, thinking a lot about people still dealing with cancer or have just been diagnosed. I won't ever stop, I don't think, as I've been so lucky. Do you think that the cancer, the experience, will be prominent in your life forever, or will you put it into the back of your mind and say, that was then, time to move on?
I think I'll get a healthy bit of perspective on it, but because I made the decision to speak publicly about it and to share my experience with other people, I think my experience has been slightly different to other people's, because I heard from a lot of people throughout my experience who were at the start. I heard from a lot of people who had been there, which was amazing and so great for me to get that insight. And then I started to hear from people who had just been diagnosed or who had a partner who had just been diagnosed, who were asking what they could do to support them. So I kind of entered into a dialogue which was completely separate to what I was experiencing in terms of my actual cancer journey, for want of a better word. So I would like to keep that open. You know, and right before, or right around the time that I got my clear scan, another friend of mine was diagnosed with cancer. And when you're presented with, you know, a friend being just at the very start of their journey and you kind of being at the end, you know, it just brings it all, you know, into kind of a very, you know, clear setting, I suppose, or makes things very clear for you. Sorry, use your words, Louise. Makes things very clear that, you know, yeah, you know, you're dumb, but there are lots of other people who are just starting out. And this is something that people go through all the time, and that there are people who had much worse experiences than I have, even with my cancer, which everyone says is one of the best ones you can have.
Isn't that strange language, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you got that cancer, you lucky thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a strange, but that's what you
well,
probably
true,
got a lot
though.
Of. Yeah, no, I understand it, but it's just when you hear that sort of talk with that sort of illness.
Yeah, I feel like it's
peculiar.
Kind of something that people with cancer can say, but people who don't
exactly.
have cancer can't really say it.
You can take
yeah.
ownership of the yeah. peculiar nature of it.
Yeah.
Let's take some texts in to and about you. Ryan, oh Lord, that brings me back listening to Louise. Delighted she's doing well. I've been there, done that. I wouldn't buy the t-shirt though. I also had a wonderful caring experience with St. James's and St. Luke's. Nurses and doctors, wonderful people, says Martina in Leash. Another says, I'm so happy, says Helen, to hear Louise's voice. I've thought about her so often. She is a true radio gal, and sending her every possible good wish this morning.
That's very kind.
Yeah, Johnny is a truck driver. He says, I can't believe the courage and the strength of Louise. She is amazing. Please wish her well, which we're happy to do. Ian says, I didn't know Louise had cancer till I read it the other day. You'd never think by listening to her bubbly voice. Glad she's out the other side, and I wish her well. There's another comment. Another said, great to hear Louise on the radio this morning. She is amazing, and that's what you'd expect to hear. Another says, great to hear Louise's story and how she's doing so well. I was diagnosed with breast cancer a year ago, over chemo surgery and radiotherapy now, and I met amazing people through all of this. Life did revolve around appointments, but you just get on with it. But I wish Louise and Gordon a long and healthy life together. So lovely response
really.
Coming in for you this morning. A quick shout out to all the little fighters of St. John's Ward in Crumlin. The poor kids, as you probably know.
Yeah.
The oncology ward for children's fighting cancer in Ireland. My girl is 2 and has had 22 months of weekly chemotherapy and smiles all the way. It's
that's so tough.
God, that would put a tear in your eye.
It's so tough. I mean, I've thought that a lot, actually, because I'm very lucky in that. Well, I'm very lucky in many ways, but one of the many ways in which I'm lucky is that I don't have children. I had a job that were willing to support me, and that is another thing that I have to say. RTE have been incredible to me throughout this and have supported me every step of the way, and I never had to worry about work, which was incredible, and that's not a situation that everyone finds themselves in. So I think if you have children and you still have a household to take care of, or, you know, if you have a job that isn't willing to support you or isn't able to support you, or if you are the parent and your child is the one who's sick, I mean, those situations are just excruciating.
Back to work then, Louise. When are we going to have you back here on 2FM and hearing your gorgeous tones of happiness and bubbliness? When's it all happening?
Well, plan is to be back on air on April 19th.
Right,
so
that's
soon. Sunday. Yeah,
welcome
it's in a few
back.
Weeks. Thank you.
How do you feel about that?
I have loads of feelings. I'm really, really excited. I'm a little bit nervous. Just because I hope I remember how to do it.
Yeah, it's just buttons and talking, honestly. It's
yeah,
easy.
I mean, I can do the talking bit. I just need to get my music head on again. Kind of have been a little bit out of the loop because I actually found it quite difficult to think about work while I was off
because,
you know, I wanted to be here and I couldn't be here. So I kind of made an intentional step back.
But you even said when you sat down this morning, you said, it's nice to have the headphones back on your, you know, that's a real radio head talking there, you know.
Yeah, and
nice.
Super egotistical to say, it's nice to hear my voice in my ears again.
I know a lot of people are saying that too, so you're okay.
Well, thank you.
So you're nearly there then. So it's, you're just back in the game. It's just a tremendous, tremendous story. I'm really impressed. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. And I don't want to create any kind of false impression that, like, you finish your chemo, you get your clear scan, and boom, you're back, because that's not the reality of the situation. And I know that people who have had cancer are going to be sitting there going, sorry, that's not the reality, because, you know, I'm not 100%. I'm still quite tired, and that's going to stay with me for a while, but I'm ready to devote at least a few hours a day to proper work and to getting back into it. I'm lucky that the job, I suppose, isn't too physically difficult.
Listen,
exactly.
It's tremendous. Congratulations to you and to Gordon and your extended family. Louise McSherry, welcome back.
Thank you.
And to the real world, I suppose you could call it. And let's do a picture and show everyone on Facebook how you're doing.
Yes.
I'd love that. Okay, we'll be back.